This is what God told us in Galatians. We're supposed to carry one another's burdens. Don't carry those things by yourself. Let us join our faith with you. And if you feel like your faith is kind of low, one of the great verses I love is in Acts when, let me just turn there really quick. So rather than carrying these burdens by yourself and these things that you're worried about, this is the great story. It's not the message you want to share, but I just want to give you some encouragement about sharing those things so we can pray together and about having your faith raised up, having your faith. You've got all the faith you need, but to stir up and strengthen that faith, sometimes we can build it on the faith of others and let others' faith help strengthen us and help strengthen our faith. We see in the story of in Acts chapter 3, the healing of the lame man. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on him. Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, if you go back at this, what I love is you can see that there's a transference of faith. There's a sharing of faith from Peter and John to this lame man. It says, seeing, look at these things, seeing Peter and John. So he saw that he's looking at them. He's got his eyes on Peter and John as they're going to the temple. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, said, "Look unto us." And he gave heed. In verse number 5, it also says paid attention. So he's looking. So you see all these different words and all these different phrases and the words within the phrases that are talking about that which is taking place. Eye contact being made between the lame man and Peter and John. And Peter and John even saying, "Hey, look into my eyes. Look at me, because I'm going to share something with you. It's going to change your life." What he was doing is that man is looking at Peter. He's making that eye contact with Peter. There's a transference of faith. He's looking in Peter's eyes, and he's seeing that faith, and it's stirring the faith within him. And it allowed him to stretch his faith and to believe for something more than he was looking for. He was only looking for alms. He wasn't looking to be healed. He spent his whole life handicapped. He spent his whole life unable to do certain things. He's only looking for alms. But when he looked in Peter's eyes, and Peter said, "Look at us," and had that attention. And he looked in Peter's eyes, he saw the faith of Peter, and it stirred the faith inside of him to believe something more than he had been believing for. Well, that's what we can do as the body of Christ for each other. Now, maybe I can't look into your eyes through the radio, but you can know that it's not just me, but there's how many countless of other hundreds and hundreds of people who are taking the time, not just listening and agreeing, but actually taking the time to stop and to pray and to join in prayer and to speak words of faith, speaking their words. You ever notice that it's easier to have faith for somebody else than it is yourself? Sometimes you can pray for someone and you can know and believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you're praying in faith and you're believing for whatever you're praying for because you're praying for somebody else. It's tougher sometimes to have that same faith when you're praying about things in your life. That's why we're supposed to carry one another's needs. In the same way that Peter and John were able to share that faith and stir the faith because they had faith, they stirred the faith of that man. In the same way, this is what we're supposed to do as a body of believers and share our faith with each other, to use our faith to strengthen each other. Ever notice that sometimes when you're looking at somebody and they're talking to you and they're giving the word of God, you can see in their eyes, you know that they believe it. You can see the faith in their eyes. And it does strengthen you. It stirs faith in you. There's a lot of times if I'm talking to somebody, I'll actually point their eyes to my eyes. I'll use my fingers and direct their eyes to my eyes because I want them to see, look at my eyes. I want you to see that I believe what I'm telling you because it's the word of God, because it stirs their faith as well. So why go through your day today carrying your concerns, your worries, your fears, your burdens, your troubles? Why carry those things by yourself? And if you're feeling today like I've been praying, I'm just not quite sure where my faith is at. If you're not sure where your faith is at, then you need to have other people standing with you. Let us join our faith with yours and stir that faith inside of you. What does it do to you when you know? Stop and think about this. What does it do for you and what does it do for your faith when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that someone else is praying fervently and in faith for you? I mean, what does that do to you? How does that affect you? How does it affect your confidence? How does it affect you just as you're going through the day? How much easier is it for you to let go of those fears and those anxieties and to let go of, which is what we tend to do when we have a problem, is our obsession over that problem, and we let it go because it's like we're giving it up in somebody else's hands. Someone else is taking care of this. Someone else is praying for it. I can move forward. This is why it's important for us to pray for one another and for us to desire to have others praying with us, so we're not standing by ourselves. Too often in our culture, in our society, we're kind of left to stand on our own. You look at all the things in our culture, and everything in our culture tends to point towards isolation. You know, it used to be, you go back throughout the history of this country, and communities were an important part of the life of the family and of the individual. Individuals didn't have to stand by themselves. First of all, they had the family unit. You know, it used to be that families lived either close together on the same property, if not in the same house. You would have multiple generations living within the same household, or certainly living within the same property right next door to each other. You had the support and the strength of your family. And within the community, there was a real focus on community. You had people that you could count on, you could trust on to help you in those times of need. And they knew your needs, and they were right there with you. I mean, it's taking it to the extreme, but it's the whole analogy and illustration that we use so many times when you think about the Amish and the barn building. It's a community effort. They're all together. Somebody has a need, everybody pitches in. That's the way that our country has been. It was founded on that. This is the way that we've lived our lives up until probably the last 30 or 40 years, when there's been more of a, maybe even more than that, 50 years, where there's been more and more of a moving away from counting on and counting on others to stand with you and employing others, not actually paying them, but I mean just inviting them, hoping for them, letting them be a part of your life and helping them to, or allowing them to help you have your needs met. We've gone from that to more of an isolated kind of lifestyle. How many people do you know that have their family, other family members, extended family members living in their house? I mean, you see the isolated cases, maybe where you have an elderly parent, or, you know, maybe sometimes, you know, when you're young siblings. Yeah, but as a rule, yeah, families are family units. They, you know, they stand by themselves. How many families do you know that actually have family members close by? See, my wife and I have lived here in Toledo for 31 years. My closest relatives are in Cleveland. I have a sibling that lives in Baltimore. I've got a sibling that lives, has lived for the last 10 years or more in Seattle. I have another brother that lives in Eastern Ohio. And for some families, that's actually relatively close. The closest family member I have will take me a little over 2 hours to get to them. You know what? There's interaction, but there's not a whole lot of strength in interaction because there's just not that closeness. Everything in our culture leads us to be more and more isolated. You think about when I first got married, just the way life was to the way it is now, there was a lot of interaction with other people. You know, now we can do so many things without ever going out. We could almost live in our homes by ourselves. I mean, we can do all of our banking online when we go to pay for gas. Yeah, you know, I remember when I first started driving, it was not uncommon that you would have sometimes an attendant come out and you had pumps that you could use, pump yourself, or you could pull up to another pump and they would come out and pump it for you. You know, now we just put our credit card in there. We can pump our own gas and be on our way and never have any contact with human beings. There's so many things that we do that we can just do without having contact with other human beings. I got some friends that live in Chicago and they live in a high-rise building in the downtown area. There's not a lot of big supermarkets or stores that are around there. Now, there's convenience stores where they can get stuff, but, I mean, you're paying a pretty high price, and convenience stores don't have the variety that you're looking for. So it's sometimes a challenge, especially if you live in Chicago, because most people who live in Chicago don't have cars because it costs so much to pay for overnight parking, you know, on a monthly basis. There's no access, unless you're going to rent a car or take a cab, to go out of Chicago to go shopping. So there's actually organizations in Chicago, I think it's called Peapod, actually, that you go online, you order all of your groceries, and the Peapod truck drives to your apartment building, takes the elevator up, and they deliver all of your groceries that you ordered. They deliver it right there to your door on the 56th floor. Again, you don't have to deal with anybody. if you want, you can just have them leaving outside the door. You can have no contact with people whatsoever. There's more and more of our society and our culture that makes us isolated and makes us more self-independent. And there's nothing wrong with independence, but the reality is God didn't create us to be totally independent. We shouldn't be dependent entirely upon other people, but we shouldn't be totally independent either. And that's where our culture takes us to, and that's the mindset that we have. And so it gets very easy for us to stand on our own and to think that we just carry our own problems and we carry our own concerns and we carry those things ourselves. We carry those burdens by ourselves. We don't want to trouble someone else with it. And a lot of times we haven't developed the relationships with other people. We haven't developed the relationships where we can entrust someone else to help us, or that we feel close enough to even ask them to help us, or we'll be comfortable to help us, or that if we did, because we don't have that intimacy of relationship, they may not feel comfortable helping you. Again, because we've brought ourselves to this situation in this time period where we just live in an isolated society. And so it gets hard to ask. What we just looked at, I closed that because that really was not what I was going to share today. But as long as we're there, let me go back. Acts chapter 3. When you look what is taking place in Acts chapter 3, again, you see that Peter and John were able to, the faith that they had was able to spark the faith in that man, was able to spark the faith in the man who was lame, spark the faith in him to believe for something beyond what he was believing for. And he did it through the faith, through the strength of the faith of someone else. And this was even a total stranger. But my point is, we shouldn't be standing alone. This man had help because of the faith of Peter and John. Because of their faith, his faith was increased. It stretched him to believe for beyond what he was believing for. There's a lot of times that we are like that lame man. Whatever our problems, whatever our difficulties are, we aim for resolutions that are much lower than what God has. You know, this man was just looking for money, but then the next day he was going to have to be brought back to the same gate called Beautiful, put there for the entire day again so he could beg for alms. He'd be back in the same situation the next day, the day after that, and the day after that. He's looking to Peter and John, and all he's looking for is alms to help get through that day. God had a better plan, an exponentially bigger and better plan for that man than that man had for himself. He's just believing for alms. God had a plan to have him healed and restored, to enjoy something he'd never enjoyed before in his lifetime. That was God's plan. He was aiming much lower. But you see, when he was able to draw on the faith of Peter and John, it increased his faith. It stirred his faith so he could believe for something beyond what he was believing for. What are you faced with today, great or small? What are the issues that concern you and weigh you down today? Great or small, what are those things? What are you hoping for? You know, probably most of you have never called a radio station like this to ask for prayer. You've never called a TV station. You've never called a prayer line. In fact, there's probably many of you that won't even ask anyone else for prayer, even people that you're close to. You keep those things close to the vest. You keep them to yourselves. So whatever your issues are, whatever your problems are, whatever your fears, your worries, your concerns, or whatever the realities are that you're dealing with today, have you asked anyone else to pray with you? Have you shared with anybody else? Not just sharing so that it's like you're venting all your frustrations, but sharing it with them with the hope and the anticipation that they're going to pray with you and pray in faith. Have you asked anybody that? See, most of us are kind of reluctant to do that because, again, our culture has taught us to be so self-independent and to be so isolated that we just don't think or we're not comfortable to do that. So whatever you're believing for today, whatever you're needing today, great or small, what are you believing for? In your own prayer time, what are you praying for? Or if you haven't even prayed, if you're just hoping for something, what are you hoping for? Because this lame man had a hope. He was hoping to get enough alms for the day. That was his hope. In your issue, in your problem, what are you hoping for? If you stay by yourself and you stay isolated and you're not allowing other people into your life, other believers, to stand with you in prayer, you're probably hoping for something far smaller than what God has for you. In the same way that this lame man was just hoping for alms, yet God had something exponentially bigger and better in his total healing and restoration that he could walk and would never have to beg again. That was God's plan. He was hoping for something much smaller. When we become isolated and we don't look to others and we don't count on other believers and we don't allow them to help us, we tend to believe too small rather than looking at someone else. And when you ask someone else to pray, when you can look in their eyes or you can hear it in their voice in the telephone or on the radio, and you can hear the faith that they have as they're praying for you, for your specific issue, for your specific problem, when you can hear or see that faith, it stirs faith inside of you. It stirs the faith that you already have, but you need to have stirred up. See, this lame man was able, by looking in the eyes of Peter and John, to believe for something greater than what he had hoped for by himself. And he received something much greater. Rather than sitting at home today and continuing to walk in that problem, that issue that you have, rather than just walking in it again today, and then tomorrow, you're hoping to get through today, and then tomorrow you're going to be right back at the same place, hoping to get through tomorrow, let's believe for something bigger. Let's believe for something better. Let's believe for the totality of the fullness of the deliverance that Jesus has already established for you. And if you say, it's hard for me to believe that because I haven't seen it, then that's one of the exact reasons why you need to have somebody else praying with you, so that their faith can strengthen you. And you can join faith with the faith that you see and hear in them.